And now it's going to be a pitch. Holland going far side, wide open, and gone. 10, wow. 5, touchdown. Touchdown, Darnell Holland. And he takes it in from 21 yards away. Three left, one right, third down and 10. Shuler in the backfield with Mitchell, who takes the shotgun snap and drops. Here comes the pressure. Down he goes. Ball comes out at the end of the play, and I think the Owls fell on top of it. Mitchell was laced from the backside, stripped by Tenarius Portress. Johnson takes the shotgun snap, drops the throw. Here comes the pressure, dances around. Bang! Down he goes. Anthony Gore. Johnson in the gun, dropping to throw. Here comes the pressure. Johnson's going down at the 31-yard line. Bryson Armstrong. Shotgun Mitchell, who drops to throw, guns it. Ball batted up in the air, intercepted at the 37-yard line. Ball batted up in the air, too, and after that it becomes a tip drill. It was Mackenzie Billingsley, the big fella, who came up with it. And under center is Burks. And now a handoff, Holland coming this way. Touchdown, Darnell Holland, untouched, going to the left. And Darnell Holland gives the Owls a 20-0 lead. In motion starts Holland. Pitch Holland coming this way. Gets around the corner, bangs into a tackler, and will take it all the way down around the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Darnell Holland! 36-yard field goal attempt for Thompson. Snap, spot, kick is on the way, and it is good. 8:47 remaining in the third, 24-0 in favor of Kennesaw State. Brown to the left, Dinkins to the right. Back to throw is London Johnson. Here comes the pressure. Guns it down the field. Intercepted. Chase White back across midfield. Runs into his own man. He's to the 40. Takes it to the 38-yard line.
The A's are Terry and Holland. Now they shift Terry out wide right. Back to throw Burks. Going to gun it down the field. Leaping catch Sumter. All the way down inside the 25 to the 22.
Jonathan Slayton had the coverage and had no chance on the play. After a play fake, Johnson's hit from the backside. Ball is free on the ground, and the Owls will fall on it. Out near midfield as Johnson was leveled, it was Peyton Moore who laid the wood to him from the backside. Naylor to the right, Sumter in tight, but a line to the left. B-back is Recksteiner. The A's are Reed and Shivers with Trey in motion left. Give Recksteiner, breaks into the open right side, gets to the edge, 15, 10, down the sideline, touchdown! Martin to the left, third and 10, they put Davis Dinkins to the right. Shuler in the backfield, as is Harris. Here comes a blitz, down goes Johnson, Anthony Gore again. He's gonna have nightmares wearing number 41. Bryant to operate from under center. The B-back is Recksteiner, first down at their own 49. Shivers started in motion, keeps it himself. Wow. Knifes into the open far side, could be gone. 15, 10, wow. 5, touchdown. Touchdown, Bryant, untouched on the option they're, to the left.
They're gonna get a penalty on this one. Everybody's happy.
The entire team is down there.
The entire team is, wow.
The Owls have flat out beat up the Buccaneers today, and they've been waiting for this for a long time.
For a long time, Brian.
Clock will wind down to zero, and Kennesaw State, as the teams head to the middle of the field, improves to 9-1. They have won their ninth consecutive game as they blow out their rival Charleston Southern, winning here today 38-0. Final Word podcast for Championship Week here in the Big South as the Owls get set to take on Monmouth here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in what's become the Big South Championship game. And Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary today. It's the Justice Edition, just us, but we'll make do with this. And Nathan, of course, the Owls come off a blowout 38-0 win over Charleston Southern. That win exercised a lot of demons. It says a lot about the Owls when you look at maybe they are truly peaking at the right time here, because they did everything right in that game.
Well, if I'd have told you in week one or before week one that Kennesaw State would blow out Charleston Southern 38-0, you probably would think I was crazy. The way the season has gone with the loss to Samford and then reeling off now 9 in a row, Kennesaw State is certainly on a roll and peaking. I mean, if you even had a little bit of a letdown and it was a close game and you won that game, you'd be happy. Coming out with a 38-0 stomping of Charleston Southern, a team that you hadn't beaten before, I mean, you're on cloud nine now, but you've got to come back down to reality because a big Monmouth team that's playing just as well is coming to the bank. And, I know that Coach Bohannon enjoyed this for just a little while and then turned his focus to the Hawks.
You lose sight of the fact, I think, because of the trip to Montana State and you go out of conference late in the season, which is unusual,
This defense has allowed a total of 3 points in their last three Big South games. So I don't have to tell you you're playing pretty good defense when opponents are averaging 1 point a game.
Yeah, well, you're holding rushing defenses under 100 yards per game. That's 12th in the country, first in the conference. Passing, you haven't had some drop-back passers. You haven't really seen a whole lot that have been effective. Their passing defense is allowing less than 178 yards per game. Second in the conference, 21st in the country. I mean, the defense has been tremendous. It starts up front. They're putting pressure on the running backs and the quarterbacks back in the pocket. I think that the secondary has played exceptionally well with the losses of Blackman and Farrow. You just really got to like the way that the defense has been playing. I mean, the proof is in the pudding with the shutout against Charleston Southern, the shutout against what was a Presbyterian,
yeah,
and then 3 points allowed to Gardner-Webb or whoever it was. So, you know, yeah, this defense has been a little bit of a surprise, but all three phases have been playing very well. That front line, the linebackers, and secondary, they've all been awarded with players of the week and recognized by the conference. Yeah, they've just been playing phenomenal football.
It gets lost a little bit sometimes because the guys that make all the tackles and pick balls off and things like that, sacks. But how well those defensive tackles and the interior guys on the defensive line have played, I think, speaks volumes for the job this defense has done. It really kind of starts right there. Coach Bohannon always tell you it's all about winning up front on both sides of the ball, and then the rest of it all takes care of itself. But, I mean, those defensive tackles and, by extension, the ends, and then, you know, when you're backed by the veteran linebackers and the back of the defense that this team has, man, the amount of speed. You have the two big guys inside in Mackenzie Billingsley and Big Z, and then the amount of speed on the rest of the defense makes up for a lot of it. I thought it was interesting a couple weeks ago, the Montana State coach talking about how they love to play parallel to the line of scrimmage,
right,
string things out. It's hard to penetrate, and that really starts with those guys in the middle.
And it really does, and I got a chance to sit next to Big Z on the plane, so we kind of talked, yeah, which was not very comfortable, by the way, and we kind of talked about how quickly they can move side to side, and we saw something we hadn't seen them do very much last week, was that stemming,
yep,
finding gaps, and you know, when you introduce something new like that in week 10, you know, of 11-week season, I mean, you're really putting forth, I mean, some confusing things for the offensive line and the quarterback to make some adjustments. So I think it goes to show that Coach Bohannon has a lot of confidence in that defensive line, and Coach Newberry is not afraid to institute some new things that he thinks will confuse that defense, or the offensive side. And, man, they've just been phenomenal. They are very quick, and they have provided Kennesaw State exactly what they needed, preventing those running lanes outside. We haven't seen a whole lot of big run breaks all season long.
No. You made an interesting point there, and I'll piggyback off of it, talking about adjustments made in Week 10. You look back to the Liberty game where all of a sudden they started to run some of those counter-type plays.
Right.
So the point I make is that both coordinators have made these kinds of adjustments and worked on new wrinkles all year long. And, I mean, for this program to be playing in their second consecutive championship game in only its third year is remarkable.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is my fear, and you and I have talked a little bit about it, is if you have a hiccup against Monmouth and you don't win the championship and you rely on an at-large bid, how many of the committee who votes for these at-large teams, there's 25 of them, then, well, actually less than 25 because of the teams that win their championships, will they give Kennesaw State the credit being a third-year program? I think it's a big question mark, but I had forgotten until you brought it up just a minute ago, Kennesaw State basically was playing for a share of the Big South Championship in their final game last year. I think that is forgotten a little bit.
And that's only in the second year of the program, and here we are in the third year of the program. You've already eclipsed, you know, last year you eclipsed the first year's win total. This year now you've already eclipsed the second year's win total. You continue to climb. You did beat one D2 team. But, you know, when you make the schedules, you never know how Alabama State's going to play. You never know how Texas Southern's going to play because these schedules are made 3-4 years ago. But you have essentially gone out of conference and beaten other FCS teams, highly respected ones like Montana State. I mean, you and I have talked about this off and on, as has too, all year long, that, you know, you take a 3.5 hour weather weird delay out of the Samford game, I'm fully confident they would have won that game too, because they were pushing them all over the field in the first half. But Coach Bohannon told me yesterday that he feels, regardless of the outcome, that both of these programs deserve to go to the playoffs. He, you know, whoever loses right. this game, he feels very strongly deserves a playoff berth when you look at the record, the body of work, you know, who you have played, and they, you know, both have beaten FCS opponents from out of conference.
We'll look at Monmouth more in depth about how they have kind of stepped up into a team that Kennesaw State really dominated last year. And I don't remember exactly how many. I think they only had four wins last year. And now they're
none in the conference.
None in conference.
Way.
So 9-1, and they're 4-0. And this what happened. But, yeah, the teams like Kennesaw State and Monmouth at 21-22 respectively in the national spotlight, will they be some of those top 25 teams? Certainly you got to think, and then it's the strength of the Big South with Liberty being down, Charleston Southern likely being down. I think people will look at that and say, okay, and with Coastal Carolina's now out of the conference, that probably will hurt the Big South as a whole. But do these teams deserve? You got to look at their body of work, and coming in 9-1, 4-0 in the conference this final weekend, it's very, very impressive, because we've seen how tough this conference can be.
And, you know, to be honest with you, is Liberty down, or is Charleston Southern especially down, or are both of these teams up?
That's a good question.
I mean, that's one of the things that happens. You know, the Big South was dominated for so many years by Liberty, and, of course, they showed they were capable, even though Baylor's been a train wreck
right.
the entire year, but they showed they were capable of, you know, playing on the bigger stage with certainly more talented teams. But I mean, is it as much that those teams are down, or is it that the Owls and the Monmouth Hawks have just risen above both of those, at least for this year?
I think it's always a combination of both, because you also had Charleston Southern, who played two big FBS teams
yep.
and got completely blown out. So it's who knows, you know, this is why on Sunday we'll all be watching the TV seeing who's going where and what the matchups will be and if your team gets in. And there are always teams staying home disappointed and thinking they deserved a shot at an at-large bid, and they don't get one. So you got to take care of business this Saturday, and you're coming off a big win at Charleston Southern, a team that you absolutely dominated. We were a little taken aback by the coaching staff at Charleston Southern talking about the scheduling at Kennesaw State, and then you referred to it earlier. Well, they just walked out of here with a 38-0 stomping, and scheduling had nothing to do with it. It was play on the field. So I think that goes a long way, because Charleston Southern, again, was the darlings of the Big South last year when they got a chance to play North Dakota State to start the season, because they had gone deep in the playoffs. So, you know, it all comes down to Saturday. And we'll all those answers will be by this weekend. And, man, you can't get here fast enough.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's kind of a tense week. I found myself looking around online and trying to find as many stories and whatnot about this, just to try to get all the different angles. I listened to Kevin Callahan's Facebook Live show yesterday. And, by the way, I did swipe some of that audio, so we'll have it on our pregame show Saturday. But, you know, one of the other things that makes the Owls such a tough team to play, of course, the option offense.
Right.
And, you know, Coach and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I wanted to touch on this because we saw a little bit of it, and we've seen it all year, how much it served the Owls well to use the A-backs a little bit more by committee.
Right.
And, of course, you know, we all wondered who's going to be the bell cow, who's going to be the guy that steps up to, quote-unquote, replace Chasten Bennett. But they've really done it with four guys. And I think that makes the Owls that much scarier to try to game plan against defensively, because, you know, it just adds more threats to the mix, and you never know what they're going to do next. And back to what I referred to earlier, some of the counter stuff they broke out against Liberty.
Right.
A defensive coordinator watching film of the entire season, the whole body of work, and trying to game plan for these guys, he's got to be pulling his hair out.
Well, Montana State's coach, I thought, gave the best answer to what they were going to do, is that they felt stopping those 10, 15-yard runs, perimeter runs by Holland and Shaq Terry, were essential to stopping the middle runs. Well, I thought Montana State did a tremendous job of stopping the perimeter outside runs, but the inside gaps is where they just pounded Montana State. Jake McKenzie had another big game. You know, they're hanging on to the football in there, and when you're pounding it for 4.5, 5 yards per carry inside, you're just going to wear down a defense. So it's kind of like it's a catch-22. Can you stop both the perimeter game and the inside game and force Chandler Burks in the pocket and try to throw some? No one's done it yet, and that's the speed of Shaq Terry has been really impressive with me. Darnell Holland ran especially hard against Charleston Southern last week, and I was really disappointed he didn't get Big South Offensive Player of the Week with three touchdowns. But he ran like a man on Saturday, and you know, really put his head down and was running over people. But yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, how are you gonna defend this offense? It'll be interesting what Grant Chestnut breaks out against Monmouth. They have certain wrinkles. One thing they don't do is they can't do is some of these misdirections that take too long to develop. Mm-hmm. That's when the teams that's when you start seeing tackles for losses. Kennesaw State's a quick hit type offense, and if they keep that up, man, it's very hard to stop.
Interesting you brought that up about Montana State and their defensive game plan, because we saw kind of a contrast to that against Charleston Southern, yeah, where they essentially packed the box. The Owls had won two games and had done so, you know, fullback, quarterback, essentially, option offense, and they packed the box, and you just mentioned Darnell Holland. They paid the price because they did so. You can't cover and you can't account for everybody. Coach said yesterday that, you know, look, that's really what the whole idea behind this is to spread them out and make them play the entire field.
Right.
And the Owls have been masterful at doing that this year, whatever defenses have thrown at them.
And it's probably fair to say that Alabama and Clemson and Oklahoma have an interior line that's big, and the linebackers or cornerbacks that can stop the outside perimeter game. At the FCS level, at this level, in Montana State, you had Mac Bignell, who was the player that we kind of focused on,
yep,
completely neutralized. He did a great job on the perimeter, but he couldn't do anything to protect those guys on the interior line because they couldn't stop the run. Flip to Charleston Southern, they had Anthony Ellis, the big guy up front. He couldn't do anything to stop the perimeter run. He's just an interior guy.
Yep.
So the athletes just aren't there at that FCS level to do both. And that's where Kennesaw State, being really a triple threat, because they can throw the ball, and they showed that. And I think last week's podcast, we mentioned against Charleston Southern, you may see 9-10 throws from Chandler Burks, and that's exactly what you saw.
Yeah.
He threw the ball more. Of course, when you're up big, you can kind of start opening the playbook a little bit. But, yeah, at this level, and I don't think that Montana State – I'm sorry, Monmouth has a good defensive line with Manny Margato. He's a big guy. Linebacker Diego Zubeda, and then their defensive backs are really good.
Basile's the one that stands
out. He's going to be one that stands out. They have athletes. I don't know if they have the athletes to stop both threats on the outside, the perimeter runs and the interior runs.
Well, while we're talking about defense, here's Brandon Joseph sitting down with the reigning Defensive Player of the Week in the Big South, Anthony Gore.
It's a big game, no doubt about it, but looking back at Charleston Southern, a lot of talk from Charleston Southern during the week. They come in here, you guys shut them out. How big was that win? Just, you know, going back to that being a rival now and all, the trash talking, them celebrating on your field, and you guys in your biggest game in program history shut them out.
Yeah, for the past 2 years, they've been trash talking, they've been celebrating, they even shoot us off the field a couple of years, and it put big emphasis on that game, and we shut them out, and it feels good. Coach says always win with class, so we don't really get into the trash talking, all the Twitter things. We just like to go play, and it worked out for us.
You guys get a lot of credit for, you know, hats flying to the ball, swarm tackling. But one thing that is underrated is that second and third level, you and Izzy, and then all the guys in the secondary do very well when you guys have to tackle one-on-one. Talk about the emphasis of that.
Yeah, we start off practice usually with a tackling circuit, and I put all credit to coaches. They make us tackle. They make us practice tackling, and it's very key during games. And if you're making those one-on-one tackles, by the time you know it's third down, and if you make that play, then the offense is back on the field, and that produces points.
You guys create a lot of turnovers. What is so special about this team that they're able to create turnovers almost seemingly on cue? Big drives. Taylor Hinkle, huge interception as Montana State's driving down. Bryson Armstrong, interception. Jace White. What is it about this team?
It's just very contagious, and we believe in each other. It's just like we're just doing our job, and you look up and you got an interception. You look up, you got a fumble, and then you look up, you got a sack. It's just very contagious, and that's one thing I love about the team, like we believe in each other.
You guys play very well against dynamic quarterbacks, and you guys always give credit to being gap-aware, gap-sound. Talk about some of the things that are going into this Monmouth game. They have very good running back, a very good quarterback who can throw the ball. What are some things you guys are focusing on?
We're focused on basically doing our job. Like, we don't have to worry about the quarterback or the running back if you're where you're supposed to be. And their players, the plays are going to find you. You're where you're supposed to be.
You guys have been through a year where you guys didn't play. Then now 3 years of playing. This is the biggest game in program history, a chance to win a championship. That's not lost on anybody, but it seems like you guys are just attacking this as, hey, this is another game. Yeah, it's important, but we need to handle our business as if this was game one or game 11.
Yes, and I agree with you on that. It's either game one or game 11. We still have to go out there and perform. It's a big game. I understand that. But last year, we definitely learned from it. I feel like we let the moment become bigger than us. But it's just all about us. Coach says we're the only team that can beat us, and I agree with him 100%.
So the biggest thing that's come out of this program, not just the winning streak, but a turnover plank, a barbershop. Talk about what that means for the guys in the locker room to know that, you know, that stuff is taking off, but that is also a sign that you guys are having fun in there.
Yeah, it's good that it's making it to ESPN and everything, but we do that when we're at home. Like, we roast each other about haircuts. We just act like we're giving each other haircuts. It's just things that we normally do, but now that the winning has come, it's become more important to the media, and we're just going to keep doing it, and hopefully we just keep winning.
What are the chances that you get Coach in the barbershop if you guys win on Saturday?
We might throw him in there. We might give him a lineup or something. But we got to get this win, and I'm just ready for the game.
For you and all the guys who have been here since the beginning, for see this program go to take those two heartbreaking losses the past couple of years, what would a victory mean on Saturday?
A victory would mean celebration. We just have to go out and do our jobs first. It's kind of overwhelming to think about the victory right now, but I definitely can't wait to perform and try to get the dub.
What does it mean to have, you know, to see the on Twitter, the hashtag pack the bank, fill the bank, that there is now a grassroots movement to make sure this place, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, Saturday afternoon at 2:00 is filled with Kennesaw fans cheering and wanting to support you guys?
Yeah, that definitely gives us a home field advantage, and that's one thing I love about this game is like that we're home as a championship game, and pack the bank, fill the bank is definitely a rush. Like, you get a rush when I just tweet it and say it, and I just want a lot of fans to be there. And even Coach, he gave us cards this year to give to students while we're in class. He told us to stand up in class and tell them about the game, what time the game is. And I feel like that's very important, key to it also.
Best of luck Saturday. Hopefully you guys get to bring home a championship.
Thank you.
All right, guys, thanks. And now we turn our attention, Nathan, to Monmouth squarely. We've talked a little bit about them, but this is a team that has really kind of come out of nowhere. Heck, you could make the case both these teams have to some extent come out of nowhere, but the Owls more over the three-year period. Monmouth this year, I don't recall off the top of my head where they were picked in the preseason standings, but it was nowhere near the top. You know, this is a team that lost one game early in the year,
right,
and here they are on a 7-game. So between these two teams, 16 consecutive games won, and both have done a whole lot of things right, which sets up for a very exciting championship game.
Well, I mentioned before, how did Kevin Callahan, who's the 25-year head coach down there,
yep,
there at
only
at,
one they've ever had.
You're right. How have they elevated? Well, number one, you look at their entire offensive line is returning from last year.
Seniors.
They've got nothing seniors and juniors on that O-line, so that's a big thing. Look at total offense. Last year in 2016, they averaged about 370 yards per game. They're averaging 418. That's a 50-yard swing positive for the offense. Rushing, they only averaged 161 yards per game in 2016. This year, with Guerrero and Zachary, which we haven't heard whether he's going to be available or not, too young. Guerrero is a redshirt freshman. Zachary is a true freshman.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. They're averaging 217 yards per rushing this season. That's, 70 yards over last year. And then you've got the passing offense, which is an area that they are still improving on. They're averaging about 210 yards per passing last year, 200 this year, so it's about the same. But they're scoring. Last year, they only scored 25 points per game. This year, they're scoring 36.6.
Yeah.
You've been around football a long time. If you say you got a plus 10 over last year's scoring, that's a tremendous advantage. They're putting points on the board. Their red zone offense is 90%. When they get in the red zone, they're 90% chance to score, and that is tremendous. And number one in the conference and sixth in the country, that's why they're where they are.
Well, and two things that stand out about them offensively, Kenji Bahar, who is, of course, their quarterback, made his first start against Kennesaw State, by the way, last year when we were up there at West Long Branch, and an athletic guy, a dual-threat guy, although, you know, a little bit better passer, I think, but he's really seemingly come into his own, has gotten locked in with their receivers. Reggie White Jr. is, of course, a threat for them, and they've got other good receivers. But on top of that, their short yardage game, led by Devell Jones, has been very solid also. And then, you know, like the Owls, they've really not turned the ball over a whole lot, and they have forced their share of them.
Yeah, their turnover margin is about 0.40, which is second in the conference behind Kennesaw State, who's second in the nation. But Bahar has thrown 7 interceptions, but he's got 15 touchdowns. So that tells me that, I mean, Chandler Burks has, what, 12 rushing touchdowns or 11 rushing touchdowns on the season. Bahar's throwing those balls. And they're not all our fades. They can stretch the field, which is my biggest concern. We've seen Kennesaw State's D-backs allow people to get a step behind them. And Montana State, their quarterback, Murray, just couldn't drop the ball in where it needed to be. You had a couple times in that last drive on Montana State, they had people behind our safeties, and the ball was just overthrown or misthrown. So that's my biggest concern. Can Kenji Bahar, as a sophomore, really put the ball where he needs to? He's done it so far this season. He's 175 completions, 279 attempts, 7 interceptions, 15 touchdowns. He's averaging 200 yards per game. So completion percentage of 62.7%. I mean, he's got the stats to show. He's probably one of the best passing quarterbacks we've seen all year.
Part of the problem that these opposing teams are going to have trying to stretch the field and throw the ball down the field is how well the Owls pressure quarterbacks and the amount of speed. And, you know, if you can neutralize the nose, so to speak, the middle of the offensive line and get one of those ends or one of those edge rushers involved, and you saw what the Owls did to London Johnson, who's, of course, a little bit like Bahar, but probably not the same level of passer, but a very good athlete in the backfield. And the Owls just pounded him and Mitchell into submission. And a lot of times, they didn't have any time to throw the ball down the field because the pressure was getting there.
This is a veteran offensive line for Monmouth. A key, and I love talking about the big guys up front, is center Alex Thompson. He's 6'4", 285-pound senior, first-team Big South. That guy anchors that offense.
Yeah.
And so you've got a leader among leaders on that offensive line. You know, it's going to be – we just have to see. You know, I mean, that's the thing. You can say can they or can't they all day long. You're just going to have to see what Kennesaw State's defensive line brings against this very veteran. They know how to play rush. They know how to play pass. It's just going to be – yeah, it's going to be a grind right there. That is an area that we'll continue to focus on. Is it Kennesaw State pushing the line back and maybe getting some pressure on the quarterback? Or is it that offensive line actually creating gaps to run in, and that would be problematic for Kennesaw State?
It's going to be fun all week to look at all the different matchups and intricacies, and in the end, you know, it's just a matter of the Owls going out there and doing what they do. You wonder sometimes how much it enters into a game like this that, you know, these programs have met each of the last 2 years. The Owls won the first one handily here, and again, the cores of these teams are essentially the same, but the Owls won the first one handily here, and then they blew out Monmouth up there a year ago. So from a confidence perspective, and you never take anything for granted, but the Owls have been there and done that and have beaten this team twice, and especially last year did so resoundingly, pretty much buried him in the first half of the game. So, you know, that would certainly favor the Owls. And the other thing, of course, you know, you don't have to travel, and West Long Branch is not an easy place to get to, so I would assume it's not an easy place to get from either.
Yeah,
so the travel is going to be a challenge for Monmouth too, but hey, they've had a really good season on the road and at home.
Yeah, and, you know, Tutan put it very well at the end of the Charleston Southern game. The script is flipped. It's been flipped with Kennesaw State now beating Monmouth twice in a row. Charleston Southern came in here thinking they had defeated Kennesaw State twice in a row. You can't let last year's game affect this year's outcome, because these are two new teams. And whether, you know, and it'd be interesting to talk to the coaching staffs about this. How much maturity have you seen increase over a year? Because sophomores become juniors and juniors become seniors. And when you have a senior-laden, junior-senior-laden team, there are not a whole lot of teams out there that are starting freshmen and sophomores that are being successful. Monmouth is very, very mature, especially on the, along that offensive line. You know, we'll see. They got a young quarterback. Can Kennesaw State continue the interception streak and pull out the turnover plank, which is apparently has gone viral all over the country, this thing. You know, this is why we're so anxious. We want to see what's going to happen on the field and how Kennesaw State manages that offensive line and how Monmouth handles Kennesaw State's defense and really handles the option. I think that's going to be their biggest challenge is Kennesaw State's offense, which is averaging 332 yards per game, 437 yards overall, and scoring Kennesaw State 29 points per game. You know, it's going to be pretty interesting.
You know, there's two things that are keys for me. Team coming in here, they score a lot of points. That's kind of their MO. They outscore right. people. They score a lot of points. They played pretty good defense last week, too. But that aside, can they have the ball enough? Because the Owls can possess – remember Montana State's coach, he nailed it perfectly. They possess the ball. Right. Turner Gill said the same thing. They limit your opportunities and your possessions. And, A, if the Owls can run the ball effectively, be it inside or outside or ideally both – then you're going to have a chance to limit those possessions. And, again, the other one comes back to what you just referenced a moment ago. Can Monmouth account for all these different threats right. the Owls have? Because as soon as you account for the inside and outside run game, you've got big number 15 down the field wide open somewhere.
Well, and I think that a key to watch will be who gets in the red zone more. If Kennesaw State can push and have long drives and they're inside that red zone and putting points on the board – positive to Kennesaw State. But if Monmouth is able to move the ball and get in the red zone, I mean, the proof is in the pudding here where they're scoring 90% of the time. You can't allow them. And Kennesaw State's done a great job between the 20s. That bend don't break. They may allow some yards in the game, but they're not allowing teams to score. Boy, we wanted that shutout so bad last week. You just didn't want to allow Charleston Southern to get anywhere close, and they did it. You know, Kennesaw State had a big pick. By the way, this defense for Kennesaw State is better when Jace White is on the field.
No doubt.
He came back last week from an elbow injury. And if he's healthy and going to go this week, this defense is exponentially better with him on the field just from a physicality standpoint. So with him coming back, I think that's a huge benefit to Kennesaw State's defense.
We will find out on Saturday as the Owls take on the Monmouth Hawks. It's been billed as the Battle of the Birds between the Owls and Monmouth for the Big South Championship. We'll have radio coverage for you here in the Atlanta area. Pregame coverage begins at 1:30 in the kickoff between the Owls and Hawks a little after 2 o'clock. You'll be able to get that here in the Atlanta area on 1230 The Fan 2 AM and 106.3 FM, and then online at atlantasportsstation.com. Also on the TuneIn app for your smartphone, and that is at 1230 The Fan 2. Well, that'll about do it for this week's edition of The Final Word, and we hope it's not the final word
yeah.
because depending on the outcome of this game, and then, you know, after that, it's in the hands of committees. We would expect we'll be here next week previewing a playoff game either way, but since you never know, we want to thank all of you for joining us all year for this and invite you to tune in for the game on Saturday. Final thoughts?
Well, I mean, it comes down to this. This it couldn't come out better for us because we love Kennesaw State football, and they have a chance to play for the championship on their home turf. The fans have got to come out, and I think that was an area we didn't really touch on. Guys, if you are in the Kennesaw State area, come out and support this football team.
Students
have got to fill the student section. I know there's a Georgia game at 3:30. They're playing Kentucky. Who cares? This is the Big South Championship here at Kennesaw. Please pack the bank. These football players deserve it, and we really want to send them, everyone in the Big South, a message that this is that you have a home field advantage. So I think that's going to be huge. My final thought is Kennesaw State, play their game. I think they're going to be just fine.
I feel the same way, that they've got an excellent chance to beat Monmouth and move on and secure the automatic bid. And who knows, when you look down the road, and coach never likes to do that, so we won't speculate too much. But I would think the way the Owls are playing, they win this game and they play the way they have been. There aren't too many teams in FCS football that are going to want to face a team like this in the playoffs. We'll find out for you on Saturday, and we'll have the broadcast, as mentioned. And I want to thank Nathan McCreary, also Brandon Joseph and Anthony Gore. And I'm Brian Giffen. This is the Final Word Podcast. Go Owls!